Returning this evening in the Holy Scriptures to the book of Genesis, chapter 41 of the book of Genesis tonight, and I want to begin to read at verse 53, and I would like to read to the end of the chapter, verse 57. Once you have found a place, then we will read together the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Let us now hear the Word of God. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph, for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the public reading of his word to all of our hearts, for Christ's sake. I want you to notice what it says there at the end of verse 55. The words that were spoken by Pharaoh the king to the people who came to him looking for bread. And this was his response to all who came. Look at what it says at the end of verse 55. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. And may the word of God be written indelibly upon the tables of our hearts for Christ's sake. That's the text for the message tonight. As most of you know, Joseph as a teenager had been sold into slavery by his jealous brothers. And that was a very low point in Joseph's life when he was rejected by his brethren and sold for 20 pieces of silver to those who were traveling down into the land of Egypt. And sometimes we have these low points in our lives. But thank God the Lord was in this whole thing. God had a perfect plan for Joseph, even down in the land of Egypt. Now the reason why the brethren sold Joseph to be a slave was because they resented Jacob's great love for Joseph. And this certainly is brought to attention in the opening verses of chapter 37, where we read of how Jacob provided a beautiful, many-colored coat for his son Joseph, indicating that he was a favorite of the father. And the rest of the boys didn't like this. They also resented Joseph because of the two dreams that they had, in which God revealed unto Joseph that his brethren would one day bow to him, and that one day they would serve Joseph. They didn't like that either. And they were filled with resentment. Therefore, they took the opportunity when it posed itself, and they sold him as a slave down into the land of Egypt. Now, due to several acts of God's providence, Joseph wound up in a prison in the land of Egypt, where he met the chief butler of Pharaoh's court. And one night that man had a dream. And when Joseph came into him the next morning, he realized that the butler was troubled. And he asked him the reason why. And the butler told him it was due to a dream that he had, and he had no one to interpret it for him. But Joseph was able to interpret the dream for the butler. The jail became a place of ministry for Joseph. And two of her ladies go into the jail on a Tuesday night. That's a ministry. And this was a blessed ministry performed by Joseph at that particular point of time. It was all part of the plan and purpose of God for him at that time to bring him to a place of prominence in the land of Egypt. God was with Joseph in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the treatment received from his brethren, in spite of the lying against him in the land of Egypt. God was with him because God had something greater for him to do in that land. Later, when Pharaoh had a dream, which no one could interpret for him, the butler remembered the young Hebrew slave who had been such a help to him. And he remembered his fault that day, because it was 2 years before this that Joseph had interpreted his dream. And Joseph said to the butler before he was released, "When you are restored to favor, please remember me." And the Bible says the butler forgot Joseph. How often do we forget the Lord? And may the Lord so work in our hearts today that we might always remember the Lord and keep him ever before us. But the butler remembered the young Hebrew who had interpreted his dream. Therefore, in the providence of God, Joseph was called before Pharaoh to interpret his dream. And God revealed to Joseph that there would be 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, and that 7 year period of time would be followed by 7 years of famine. There's another lesson for us to glean from this. Sometimes we enjoy rich times of blessing, times of fruitfulness in the service of God, and sometimes those times of refreshment, spiritual enjoyment, are followed by times of famine, times of dryness, and times of barrenness. And if that's the case with you tonight, may the Lord intervene in grace and turn your barren times into fruitful times. As a result of the interpretation given by Joseph to Pharaoh the king, Pharaoh appointed Joseph to be the ruler over all Egypt, second only to him, to prepare for that time. So Joseph was a special son, and Joseph was sold as a slave. He had been a prisoner, now he becomes a provider. He had been rejected by his own brethren, and now he was appointed to be ruler over the land of Egypt. Is this not the grace of God? Is this not how the Lord works in dealing with his people? Sometimes we are lied about. Sometimes we're persecuted. Sometimes men say all unkind things against us. And we've got to be like Joseph. We've got to bear it at times. Joseph said nothing. He took all of these things in a stride, as it were, because he believed that God had a purpose for him in this whole thing. God has a purpose for all of our lives. God has a perfect plan for us. And when men ridicule and despise and say all manner of things against us, let us be like Joseph, who was like Christ. He opened not his mouth. He thanked God, he submitted himself willingly to the mind and will of God. During those 7 years of plenty, Joseph filled the storehouses. And when the famine came to its peak, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold unto all the people who came to him. During that time, the cry throughout the land of Egypt was, "Joseph, Joseph, Joseph." May the Lord hasten the day when the name of Jesus would be upon the lips of men and women seeking after him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So at this time of famine, when the people came to Pharaoh looking for bread, he sent them unto Joseph, and the people ran through the streets crying, "Joseph, Joseph, Joseph." Oh, that God would visit this land again, so that men and women would be running round the streets crying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy upon our souls." This, in the providence of God, was the underlying purpose of the famine. Now, for those of you who study the Word of God carefully, you will find 13 different famines recorded in the Bible. And this one was used by God to drive people to Joseph, especially his own kinsmen, the children of Israel. Now, there are many practical lessons to be learnt from this story. And it will be a wonderful thing just to take some time to look at some of these very practical lessons. But that's not my aim tonight. That's not my point tonight. But in this whole story, as in all of the scriptures, this story is given to exalt and to reveal Christ and his redemptive work. So while we can learn many practical lessons, the main point, the main lesson in the story is to exalt the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do tonight in the service. What a wonderful gospel picture is painted here in these verses by the Spirit of God. There's a portrait of Christ here. There is a picture of God's great mercy and salvation revealed through the person of Christ here on these pages found in the book of Genesis. As Pharaoh said to the people when they came to him seeking food, "Go to Joseph, he will give you bread." I say in the gospel to you, go to Jesus, because he is the bread. He is the bread of life. He alone has made the provision. He alone has opened the storehouses of heaven. He alone can satisfy all those who come to him. It's Christ and Christ alone. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Joseph, therefore, in the story, points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. He points us to Christ in a threefold way. And these are the things I want to set before you tonight. First of all, the work of the Savior is typified in the life and ministry of Joseph. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about Joseph is that he was not from this land. Rather, he had been sent there by Almighty God to preserve his covenant people, the children of Israel, from death at a time of famine. He was not from this place. He was from another place. Christ was sent from heaven above, and he was sent into a sin-cursed world to live among men as a man, to die an atoning death, to save his covenant people from eternal death. Even in this simple thing, Christ was here. And the fact that Joseph did not come from this place, this was not his home. Then in addition to this, Joseph was given power and authority by the king to carry out this particular task of providing for men. And the same thing could be said of Christ, because God, the great King of glory, gave power and authority to accomplish the great work of redemption. The Holy Spirit empowered him to undertake this great work of saving men from wrath and condemnation. So God gave to him authority and power. He came as God, Jesus Christ as God. And as God, he lived among men as the God-man. Only Christ could accomplish redemption. Only he could perform this great task. It could not be accomplished by a mere human being. Could not be accomplished by an angel. It had to be accomplished by Christ, who's God. And thank God that's why he became a man, to dwell among us, so that at the appointed time he could die on the cross to make a full atonement for our sins. Joseph also planned the ingathering of the crops, built the storehouses, and had them filled before the famine came. Isn't this a glorious thought? As he built the storehouses, and as he filled the storehouses in anticipation of the famine, so Christ, in the covenant of grace, provided for the needs of his people before the world began. Revelation tells us, or depicts him, as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. In the mind of God in eternity past, Christ was crucified. And it was only in the fullness of time that he came literally, that laid himself down on Calvary's cross to purchase redemption for sinners. But this purpose was in his mind from eternity. And Christ was a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. Joseph was the only person fit to open the storehouses. And Christ is the only fit person to open the storehouses of God's grace to needy sinners. There's no one quite like Jesus. There's no one as glorious. No one as wonderful. No one as gracious and sympathetic as Christ. That's why sometimes we sing, "There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one." He's the fairest of the fair. He's the bright in the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. There's no one quite like Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Joseph's glory was not in that he had plenty, but rather that he delighted in sharing it with others. And that's the beauty of Christ. He delights to show mercy. He loves to be gracious. He loves to pardon sinners. He loves to reconcile sinners to God. That was why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Henry Law, in his commentary, said, "This narrative discloses a universal misery. The staff of life failed. Hunger presided grimly at every corner, but amid all the hopelessness, there is hope." And the Word of God tells us that the storehouses had been filled with grain. Chapter 41, verse 54, in Egypt there was bread. In chapter 42, verse 1, it states there was corn in Egypt. And that was the message that Jacob heard in the land of Israel. There's corn in Egypt. And that is why he sent his boys down to Egypt at the time of the famine to buy corn. And in the providence of God, that was God's way to bring the brothers into contact with the rejected son, so that one day they would bow before him as it had been revealed to Joseph in the dreams. And in so working, God brought eventually Jacob and the whole family down into the land of Egypt to be preserved there by the grace of God. And they were preserved and kept separate in the land of Goshen. God so ordained that God had a purpose and plan for his people. And Joseph was part of that great plan. So the son who had been special, the one who had been sold as a slave, the one who had been a prisoner, had become the provider. The one who had been rejected is now in a place to rule. And these brethren of his one day would come and bow before him. This is the mercy of God. This is the way God works. This is our God. This is the one who has compassion upon the needy. This is the one who helps us in our times of need and provides for us. And Joseph had been appointed as a minister of mercy to deal with the relief of the people of the land, including his own brethren. He had been rejected by his brethren. He had been treated unjustly by the Egyptians. But God in his mercy and God in his grace exalted him. So food for Jacob was found in the most unexpected place. And salvation is found in the most unexpected place. Bread was found in Egypt. Abraham went down to Egypt and got into difficulties. Others of God's servants went down into Egypt and got into bondage. And this was the place that God directed his people, and provisions were made and found in a most unexpected place, and salvation is found in a most unexpected place. Not in a cathedral, not in a church, but at a place called Calvary, where God's dear son laid down his life for his friends. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are always the best. God's ways are better than your ways. God's ways are better than my ways. God's ways are always perfect. So Joseph has been cast into prison due to no fault of his own. He had been lied about, but he opened not his mouth. But God did not allow him to end his days there, because the place of shame and the place of suffering were exchanged for one of dignity and glory. After humiliation, there was exaltation. Did you see this? And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Chapter 41, verse 14. After his humiliation, there's exaltation. He's been rejected and he's raised up by the power of the king. This is a wonderful foreshadowing of Christ, the one who was rejected of men. And in a sense, he was put down into the prison of the grave. But thank God, the third day he triumphed and Christ arose. And Christ has been exalted to God's right hand. And here we have in chapter 41 a wonderful prefiguring of this. Because Joseph in this points us to Jesus Christ. Then Joseph warned of coming danger and urged his hearers to prepare for that event. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, verse 29. And then in verse 30, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. So Joseph began to tell the people to prepare. And I tell you tonight, prepare to meet God. Because after the time of harvest, there's coming a time of reaping. The day of judgment's coming. But a day when God will also take his redeemed people into his presence. He declared that following the season of plenty, there will be a time of famine. In view of this, he warned them to prepare, make preparation. So does Christ, who is the great prophet. He's prophet, he's priest and king. And as the prophet, he warns men. During his earthly ministry, he warned men. He spoke more often about hell than he did about heaven. Here he speaks tonight again. Judgment's coming. Prepare to meet God. So having interpreted Pharaoh's dream and giving to the king the meaning of the dream, Joseph then undertook to advise the people, including the king upon the throne, as to the wisest course to follow in order to meet the needs of the approaching emergency. Prepare for the future. Provide for the future. Thus Joseph manifested the wisdom that God had given to him. He was a wise young man. Young men seek the wisdom of God early in life. He actually was a wonderful counselor. Is not another wonderful picture of our Savior? Christ is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers. The people were aware of the problem that they faced, but they were also made aware of the provision that was made. The storehouses in Egypt have been filled. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Jacob heard that, then he sent his sons to seek for that bread that was available. It all happened as Joseph had prophesied. God in his mercy brought the news to Jacob. God in his mercy is bringing news to you tonight. Look and live. Jesus, 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 the bread of life. That's the answer. And we're told how in the providence of God, Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much. Verse 49. And then we're told also in verse 47 that during the 7 years of plenty, the earth brought forth handfuls or abundantly. So the storehouses were packed with a superabundance. There's a superabundant store and provision made by Joseph. There's a superabundant provision made by Christ to meet all of your needs, to take care of all of your burdens. Thank God in his grace he has made a wonderful provision. He can forgive you your sins. He can give you peace of mind. He can give you hope for the future. And at the end of the day, a home in heaven. He can meet you at the point of every need, whatever that need is tonight. And the Lord knows your need. He's a sympathizing Jesus. He's the understanding Christ. He's the merciful Son of God. He's our great high priest who has entered in through the veil to appear in the presence of God today. And his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's Jehovah God manifest in flesh, the covenant-keeping God, the great I Am. He remembers his people. And thank God he's made a super abundant provision for sinners to take care of all my sins, all my lying, all my deceptions, all my vileness, all my sinfulness from the day I was born right through to this point of time. They're all gone tonight, every one of them, past, present, and future. That's a super abounding provision he has made. Not only past sins and present sins, but the sins we will commit in the future. They have been nailed to his cross. Atonement has been made for those sins. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's mercy with God to save you tonight. There's grace to provide you with courage to stand for him in the workplace tomorrow, to live for him in your home, to live in your society for God. There's superabounding grace. No matter what the challenge may be, no matter how hard it will become, no matter how you may feel about yourself at times, there's superabounding grace available to you. How can we receive this? Simply by asking. Take the advice given by Pharaoh. Go to Joseph. Take my advice tonight. Go to Jesus. He's a great burden bearer. He knows when the tear drops. He knows when the heart breaks. He knows how to sympathize. Sometimes we say the wrong thing when we try to encourage people. Sometimes we say the wrong thing when we try to draw near to lift a brother or sister up. Sometimes we fail, and we fail miserably, but Jesus never fails because he knows exactly what you have need of and what I have need of. And the amazing thing is this. Joseph had gathered a fifth of the corn. That's deeply significant. Five in the Bible, as I often tell you, speaks of grace. This was a gracious gathering of the grain. The bread of life is graciously provided for sinners because you make bread from the corn and the grain, and Christ is the bread of life. And the amount of Joseph's supply could not be counted because it was as the sand of the sea. The harvest had been gathered in 7 years of plenty. Seven is the perfect number, it's the complete number. The work was completed in 7 years. And when Christ went to the cross, he spoke seven times. And when he spoke the seventh time, he was commending himself into the hands of his heavenly Father. And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. He'd finished the work the Father had given him to do. What a wonderful Savior. The work of salvation has been completed on the cross. I don't have to add to it. I don't have to do anything to receive it. It's the gift of God. I receive it from His gracious hand as He freely bestows it upon me. There's mercy with God. This is grace. We receive the gift of God freely. And thank God for His infinite supply. So we have noticed here the work of the Savior is typified. Then the wonder of the Savior is typified. We're told in verse 56, Joseph opened all the storehouses. Or it could be read, he opened all the barns of corn. So he has made provision. He has packed all of the storehouses. That would have been no good for the people had the doors been kept closed. People would have died. But the wonder of the Savior's provision is brought to attention here because he opened the storehouses, typified in Joseph opening the storehouses. Notice what the king said to the people in verse 55, what he saith to you, do. Remember what Mary said to those who were there in Cana of Galilee when he performed his first miracle. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do. And what's he saying to you tonight? You who are unconverted, repent and believe the gospel. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do. Child of God, he may be working in your heart. He has a perfect plan in store for you. He wants you to give that place in your life where you are surrendered to him completely, where your life is placed on the altar for God, and you're saying with all of your heart, Lord, send me wherever the Lord wants me to go, and fill me with power to enable me to do what God wants me to do. Here am I, Lord, take my life. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I've learned to trust him so. I want to serve him with all of my heart and mind and soul. I want to make an impact for God. Lord, take my life, whatsoever he saith unto you, do, and do it with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. The king commanded that Joseph be obeyed. So Joseph made available to all the poor and the needy what he had provided. That's the wonder of the Savior typified. He's opened the storehouses of God's grace, and he makes available to sinners, the poor and the needy, what he has provided to save sinners from their sin. Notice what Pharaoh said about Joseph. Thou shalt be over my house. Chapter 41, verses 40 and 41. This is actually the third house that Joseph was made overseer of. Potiphar's house, the prison house, and now Pharaoh's house. God hath appointed Christ to be the head of his house, the church, his spiritual body. The Lord had instructed Pharaoh to appoint a wise man to oversee the harvest. And I do believe that Pharaoh really delighted in the excellence of Joseph. This is truly amazing. God gave Joseph favor in the eyes of the king, a pagan king. And he delighted in the excellence in Joseph. And we're told in verse 46, Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh to do this great work. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land. That's deeply significant. Because as I mentioned this morning, Christ came to Jordan to be baptized of John. He had no need to be baptized, but he was identifying himself with sinners he came to save. He was about to launch his public ministry. And the Father came and spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And Christ was sent forth on his public mission and his public ministry from the presence of his heavenly Father. It was from Pharaoh's presence that Joseph began his work. And Christ began his work being sent out from his Father's presence. The prison garments were put off Joseph. The royal ring was put on his finger. He was adorned in fine linen and a chain of gold. These were all signs of his high estate. Remember when he was called into the presence of Pharaoh, the Bible says that he washed himself and he shaved himself and he changed his garments. He prepared himself to stand in the presence of the great king. And you need to prepare yourself to stand in the presence of God complete in Christ. By repenting of your sins, by seeking the face of God, by coming and putting your faith and trust in Christ. So now we see the prison garments have been removed. He has been shaved. He has been washed. And now he's given these tokens of his high estate. After humiliation, there's exaltation. And God hath exalted his Son to his right hand today, where he lives in the power of an endless life. And heaven is filled with his glory. What a wonderful Savior he is. and he's my friend, and he's my shepherd, and he's my redeemer. I am his, and he is mine. The garments of humiliation have been removed, and Christ reigns in glory and power and great splendor. And the crown of thorns has been exchanged for a crown of glory. Now, during the years of plenty, Joseph used his position to reap a great harvest. He went throughout the land gathering the corn. And today, the exalted Christ is moving by a spirit right throughout the nations of the world. And he's gathering a people through the gospel by the power of the Spirit. There's a great ingathering of souls right across the face of the globe today. And that's what the exalted Christ is doing through his church, through the gospel, and by the power of the Spirit. He's reaping a harvest. Yes, there's a harvest being reaped today. We may not see it in any great depth and detail here in the United States, but God is at work. He's calling a people out from the four corners of the globe today. He's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's working today through his Spirit. And then the cry went up as Joseph was exalted. Bow the knee, verse 43, and he made him ruler over all the land, and a day is coming when the mighty king will say, bow the knee before my Christ. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every atheist who's ever lived and died will appear before the great King. And the God of heaven will say, bow before my Son. You didn't believe in me? You didn't believe in my Son? Bow before him now. Every rebel against God and the gospel of grace who has ever lived and died will appear before the great white throne of the Lamb. And God will say, bow before my Son. Give him the praise due to his name. And every knee will bow and confess Jesus Christ to be God. And all those who have jeered you and made little of you, they too will stand to give an account. But they will remember you because you told them about this day and they didn't believe it. Keep on praying. Keep on doing a great work for God. And then Pharaoh called Joseph Zaphnath-Paneah. And this long name has been interpreted in various ways. The salvation of the world, the revealer of secrets, the prince of the life of the world. And that's a deeply significant name because Jesus Christ is the savior of sinners. He's the revealer of secrets. He's the prince of the life of the world. And there's another wonderful thing. The king gave Joseph a bride, a Gentile bride for this Jew. Isn't that a wonderful thought? And we are Gentiles, but we're part of the bride of Christ. We're part of the body of Christ through grace. And God gave to Christ a people, Jews and Gentiles. And that middle wall of partition has been broken down. And thank God we have been grafted in. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, for his grace towards sinners, and that he called us out from a world of sin to become part of his bride. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, verse 46. That's deeply significant. Every detail in his story has its own beauty and value, and the Spirit of God has a definite design in telling us Joseph's age. When his public service began, he was 30 years of age. That was the age for entering into the priesthood, Numbers chapter 4, verse 3. David began his reign when he was 30 years of age. How perfectly does this type and anti-type correspond? Jesus began to be about 30 years of age when he commenced his public ministry, as it was in the case of Joseph. His bride is mentioned before his age, the time when his work, life's work, began. Is there not a reason for this? I think there is. Joseph had a bride given to him, and God gave to his son a bride in eternity. The king arranged the marriage. How perfectly this agrees with other portions of the Word of God, where the eternal king gave to his son a bride before he commenced his life's work. And that's why he came. That's why he became a man. The Father gave him a bride, but in the fullness of time he came to purchase the bride. He purchased the bride that had been given to him by the Father in eternity. Isn't that truly amazing? I was just saying to Dan this morning, as I was praying this week, this thought just came to me. Why me, Lord? Out of all the teeming millions and millions of people who have ever lived on earth, why me? Why did the Lord choose me? Because of grace. Because it pleased him to do so. And child of God, when you get discouraged and when you feel lonely and downcast, think about this. Dwell upon this wonderful glory that he chose you before the foundation of the world, and he gave you to Christ in eternity, and Christ came and lived among men, and thank God at the cross he purchased you to be his own. Isn't that truly amazing? And that's why I'm saved, because he loved me so. Not because I deserved it, not because I prayed the right prayer or anything like that. I'm saved because he loved me from eternity. And in the fullness of time, Christ died for me, paid the ransom price. And through the gospel, applied to my heart by the power of the Spirit, he gave me faith to believe. He gave me grace to repent of my sins. And I'd made my calling and election sure by repenting, by coming to Christ, by receiving the gift of God, so that God will get all of the glory and all of the praise. And when we all get home, there's not one will get home because of anything in them. It will be all of grace. So that forever and ever, the grace of God will be magnified. God is marvelous. God is wonderful. God is gracious. He's full of compassion. And he's my Savior. Is he your Savior? The church, the bride, was given to Christ long before he commenced his work. And he came to purchase the bride. And isn't it interesting that Pharaoh, this ungodly man, should give Joseph such a name that means the Savior of the world? So we've looked at these two interesting things from the life of Joseph. The work of the Savior is typified. The wonder of the Savior is typified. But then finally, the welcome of the Savior is typified. Now, during the years of plenty, the world paid little heed to Joseph. I wonder what the people thought in those times. Those times of plenty, maybe they didn't give much attention to this idea or this plan or this dream that the king had and this interpretation that Joseph had given to the dream. I don't know what they were doing, but they seem to have paid very little attention to Joseph. However, when the dearth set in and the crops began to fail, the land of Egypt was famished, and God sent Joseph before this to be a blessing unto them. And the people cried to Pharaoh for food, and he said, go to Joseph. Now Jacob and his sons were faced with the prospect of death, and they needed to make an urgent decision. They needed to take the journey. They needed to go to Joseph, the one that the brethren had rejected, the one that had been sold by the brethren for 20 pieces of silver. Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Here's Christ in the story. They had to humble themselves, and they had to go down to Egypt to seek out this man that was still unknown to them. They didn't recognize Joseph when they first saw him, but he recognized them, and then he revealed his glory unto them. There was a time of weeping. The brethren, I suppose they initially thought, well, Joseph is going to deal with us now. And he would have been right, but he was Christ-like, you see. Instead of judgment, he gave them forgiveness. Instead of punishing them, he showed mercy. Isn't this grace? Isn't this a wonderful picture of the grace of God in Christ? Surely it is. Christ is here. The gospel's here. Mercy's here. So the one who had been rejected, the one who was now exalted, had become their Savior too, because he made a provision for them. And they partook of what he provided, and as a result of that, they lived. And they were given a new home. The invitation later on came to Jacob. Why don't you come down? Why don't you come with the whole family? And I will see to it that you're given a new home down here. And in this, God was preserving the nation, because Christ had to come from the nation. And God kept these shepherds separate from the people of the land, because the Egyptians despised shepherds. And at the appointed time, then Moses would lead the Exodus and lead the people out. And what did they take with them when they moved out of Egypt? They took with them a box of bones. They took with them the bones of Joseph. And during that whole time, the bones of Joseph were with them. This do in remembrance of me. That whole time, they remembered the one who had saved them, the one who had given them a new beginning. And when that box of bones arrived into the promised land, it was buried at the appointed place. I must have the Savior with me. I must know that he's traveling with me each step of the way. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn. Isn't this a wonderful thought too? lost sinners who cry unto him will be heard by him. Joseph opened all the storehouses, and all who came, and that's the message of the Bible, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that typified here in the story of Joseph? He opened the storehouses. He made his provision available to all who would come. And if you come to Christ, he will receive you. According to the teaching of John 6, verse 37. Even so, our Lord Jesus opens the storehouses of grace to all that come to him, Jew and Gentile. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Christ is a mighty Savior. He's the only Savior. And if you come to God by him, he will in no ways cast you out. So when all of these different people, Jews and Gentiles, came unto Joseph, he welcomed them, and they shared in his great provision. It was no good for them to look at the storehouses and admire the storehouses and say, well, aren't these storehouses wonderful? Didn't Joseph do a great job? Didn't he make a superabounding provision for the people of the lands? They could have stood back and admired it, and one day dropped dead because of starvation. They had to partake of it, but they had to pay for it. And that's the difference between the story of Joseph and the grace of God. We don't have to pay because Jesus paid for it. And when these people came, they were not disappointed. And when you come to Jesus, you'll never be disappointed. And he will transform you into the person he wants you to be. So this is a wonderful story, gospel truth here. But Joseph sold the grain. Price had to be paid, but Christ is the one who paid the ransom price so that men can partake freely of his great provision. Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. So please keep these three things in mind. The work of the Savior is typified. The wonder of the Savior is typified. He opened the storehouses. And then the welcome of the Savior is typified. When the people came, Joseph gave them all that they needed. He gave them a welcome. And may you flee to him tonight, to Christ, that is. And he will freely and willingly receive you and make you his child. May God bless his word. Amen.